and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And let's get right to it, heading down to Albuquerque, New Mexico for another edition of Mercenary Musings Radio to hear from the man himself, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how are you?
Pretty good, Rob. The heat is on.
The heat is on indeed. Up here, 40 degrees Celsius with the humidity, Mickey. So hot and sticky in southern Ontario, and I'm loving it.
Well, it's hot here, but it's dry, and it's not 40. Okay. Not nearly 40.
Okay, well, for today's show, a bit of a different twist for us, Mickey. We're not looking at a specific commodity, but instead a key measure of shipping activity in the transporting of raw materials by sea. It's called the Baltic Dry Index. Explain what it is for those who are not familiar with it.
Yeah, the Baltic Dry Index, commonly known as BDI, comes out of London on a daily basis from what's called the Baltic Exchange. And as you alluded to, it's basically the price of moving major raw materials by sea. It has an interesting origin. Started way back in 1744 with a London trading company called the Virginia and Baltic. And that reflected in the mid 18th century where world trade, where commodities came from. So Virginia, lots of tobacco.
Right.
From there, and then the Baltic could be the Baltic Sea up in the Scandinavia area and the North Sea. By 1823, these London traders had formed a merchant committee to regulate water trade and also a securities exchange. The index itself has not existed that long, since 1985, so what's that, 31 years? And it is posted, as I've alluded to, on a daily basis, where a panel of international ship brokers assess rates for four different cargo ship sizes, ranging from 15,000 dry weight tons to well over 100,000 dry weight tons. So, you know, you're going up, and there's into the largest cargo ships in the world. And there's four different sizes, and they weight the assessment of the rates and combine that into something called the BDI. It essentially covers 100% of bulk dry cargo shipped worldwide.
Okay, and if anybody's interested, the name of those dry bulk carriers, you've got the Handysize, the Supramax, the Panamamax, and the Capesize. Capesize, does that refer to the Cape of Good Hope around the southern tip of South America?
Yes, it does, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Suffice it to say that, let's just go through it. The Handysize and the Supramax, which go up to 60,000 dry weight tons, handle about 18% of bulk dry cargo in the world. The Panamax, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about the Panama Canal.
That's right.
60 to 80,000 tons at 20%, and then these Capesize, which go from 80,000 tons way, way up. You know, Chinese use something 300,000 to 400,000 tons. That's handles 62% of world traffic.
Okay, what explain the data that is inputted into this Baltic Dry Index and how it comes out to produce a number that is either a good number or a bad number in terms of shipping activity and economic activity?
What it directly measures is the supply of dry bulk carriers, cargo ships, versus the demand for shipping capacity. Now, as you can imagine, the supply, there's a certain number of ships in the world of certain sizes, and that's very tight and inflexible. It takes over 2 years to build a new cargo ship, and you just can't park these things because it costs so much to you know, they're not sitting around, okay? I mean, they've got to be working. So the demand fluctuations, because supply is tight and inflexible, leads to extreme volatility in this index.
Yeah.
What it indirectly measures is the global supply versus demand, the supply-demand fundamentals for bulk dry commodities, and that includes iron ore and coal and metallic ores, especially copper, grains, and bulk building materials such as sand and gravel and limestone. But the real gorilla on the block here is iron ore. Remember when we talked that 95% of the metal mined in the world is iron ore. So iron ore is a very important input in this, and then secondary would be coal. But it ends up being what's called a leading economic indicator. So it predicts short-term growth in production, future economic indicator. And we should mention here, it does not include any container freight.
That's right.
So those are finished goods, and that would be things such as steel, and does not include any liquid. So oil's not included this. It's strictly stuff that you can basically open the hold of a ship and fill it up. In addition, it's not speculative at all. BDI is, it doesn't have a futures market, doesn't have an options market. It's not, has no derivatives. It's just, this is what it is. There's a quote I found very interesting by a guy from thestreet.com, and he says, people don't book freighters unless they have cargo to move, meaning it absolutely is not speculative.
Right, not speculative. However, extreme volatility you mentioned in the Baltic Dry Index, Mickey, it's been around in operation in terms of being an index that people track only since 1995. But it's been on some wild
1985,
ride. Sorry, 1985. But there have been some wild rides since then, haven't there? I think the peak was.
it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. As I got into this, so I should say we've tracked this index for 4 years, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, what we're going to do with it. But the all-time high, as you can imagine, was in May of 2008, and if you remember, that's when all commodities worldwide hit their highs, and that high of the BDI at that point was 11,793 on a daily rate for the index, May 20th.
And half a year later, it was down sharply.
Yeah, so by December 5th of 2008, and so what is that, 6.5 months later, and this would be after the global economic crisis hit, and in kind of the depths of that, it hit a low since early 1986, within a year of when it was first established, hit a low of 663. And at this juncture, the combined operating rate of cargo ships, including the ship and the fuel and the crew, the cost of booking something was basically a break-even for the shippers. Mm-hmm. So what'd they do? They basically drove slow to conserve fuel, and fuel is bunker fuel, which is heavy, kind of dirty diesel, if you will. That's the greatest input to cost. So it was kind of a perfect storm, if you will, in the end of 2008, because you had the global economic crisis with commodities just crashed completely. You had there was no credit, credit crunch. And then these shipping companies, the debt load in some of these shipping companies and construction companies building ships resulted in a bunch of bankruptcies. So at that point, just an absolute perfect storm.
Okay, and fast forward to this year, Mickey, the Baltic Dry Index in February of this year hit an historic low of just 290.
Well, that's true. So let's kind of review what's gone on from the end of 2008 till the present. In 2009, as you remember, commodities boom again, and the index in less than a year was up at, hit an intermediate high of 4,661. By 2011, so do the math, in 2 years, because we had this big commodities boom, a bunch of new ships came online, took 2 years to build them, And so there was an oversupply, and the index went down to 1,043. Now, there was an extenuating circumstance at that time because there's big floods in Queensland, and that supplies most of metallurgical coal for China. And so the supply of metallurgical coal, because of the flooding, dropped off 15%. And there was also some floods in Western Australia, so they couldn't get iron ore out of Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
By 2002, it really hit bad with a glut of new carriers and then depressed demand from China for iron and coal.
And I don't know if you saw this, Mickey, but around the time of the Baltic Dry Index hitting its historic low of 290, a Zero Hedge website wrote that, quote, commerce between Europe and North America has literally come to a halt for the first time in known history. Not a single cargo ship is in transit in the North Atlantic between Europe and North America. All of those ships are either anchored offshore or are in point, or in port, rather. Nothing is moving. That's a startling statement.
Well, it is, and it explains partially why the low was at 290. But the other thing that goes on with the Baltic Dry Index on a yearly basis is Chinese New Year, when everything shuts down. So you'll generally see a low during that period of time, too. So, again, a perfect storm.
Okay. We had mentioned the Panama Canal earlier, Mickey, when you referred to a certain category of the dry bulk containers. The Panama Canal has been expanded. How does that development fit into the Baltic Dry Index today?
Well, it doesn't make a hill of beans, really. So the Panama Canal expansion, after 10 years of cost overruns and financial disputes and safety issues, et cetera, it finally got up and running. It was opened on Sunday, the 3rd of July. So 10-year debacle, but they basically came in and constructed a new lane, which is longer and wider over the entire length of canal, which is about 80 kilometers. The amount of shipping that actually goes through the Panama Canal is not a lot. Less than 3% of global trade. Now it has the capacity to double that, so it'd be, 6% of global trade. But it can actually accept ships 2.5 times larger than before. The Panama Canal is really a U.S.-built endeavor back a century ago, and it's still dominated by U.S. trade. 65% of the Panama Canal trade goes to and from U.S. ports, so basically from the eastern seaboard to the left coast and vice versa. The new Panamax is a size of cargo ship called up to 120,000 dry weight tons. So it would get into the smallest of those cape size. But it still can't handle the largest container ships. It can't handle super tankers for oil and bulk dry carriers because they're just too wide. So you referred to earlier about cape size, and that means no canals, no Suez Max, no Panamax. So basically anything of cape size got to go around the Cape of Good Hope or the Cape Horn. So it's still a bottleneck there, Rob.
Okay. You've been tracking the Baltic Dry Index now, Mickey, for, 4 years or so?
Yes, sir.
It's a fascinating index, isn't it? How are you bringing that into your thinking at mercenarygeologist.com?
Well, we've always used it. We've tracked it, as you said, for 4 years now, and I've used it historically when I go on interviews. For instance, if I do a BNN interview on short-term predictions on copper, the BDI is always one of my inputs. Since we've been tracking it, the aforementioned low of 290 in February of this year, and the high was over 2,300 in December of 2013. Over a 52-week period, less than 300 to greater than 1,200. What we're going to do is we're going to start working. We've been publishing a series of musings on seasonality of gold and copper and oil and the Toronto Venture Exchange, trying to find out times when it's good to buy or trade, those sorts of things.
Right.
But what we're going to do now is we're going to combine it with the seasonality of the Baltic Dry Index, and I hope to have that out in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, it's just one more useful tool, isn't it, to try to get a good handle on the market and where the market is going and try to get the jump on things.
Well, it certainly is. It's one of those things you go to when you're looking at trying to figure out where commodities prices are going to go.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note, Mickey. We're going to do it all over again in a couple of weeks. Is it going to be a mystery surprise for listeners?
Absolutely. I have no idea. You know, I'm focused on BDI right now, and we're going to start compiling some data and see where that comes up. But we'll have something to talk about in commodities in a couple of weeks.
Okay, we'll talk to you then. Thanks a lot, Mickey.
All right, thank you, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.